This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Have you ever snuck into anything before? We'll get into that in just a moment. Don't forget, though, the G-Bag Nation is at Shell Shack in Mesquite today. Go see them. Enjoy some Shell Shack with them as well. My kid just loves the boils, the shrimp boils and crab legs and stuff like that. He's all into it. So he's probably going to say, hey, Dad, let's go do this. But yeah, go see the fellas from the G-Bag Nation at Shell Shack in Mesquite today. Have you ever snuck into anything? We will get to in just a moment. But Mike, yesterday I saw a text from a listener, and I wanted to kind of discuss this with you guys, see how y'all felt about it. Because a listener texted in yesterday and said, why is nobody talking about the fact that Cooper Rush is winning games that Dak would lose? And if you want to text in and let us know what your confidence level is in Cooper Rush right now, go ahead and do that. You know, I feel like he can keep you in games. He's not going to lose games, but I've said all along, it's not necessarily him as much as it is the things that are surrounding him. The defense being better, giving them chances to win games, and the offensive line being better and giving him the protection that he needs. And so far, those things have turned out to be better. That's why you're running the ball. The defense stopping teams is allowing you to run the ball. But when it comes to Cooper Rush, the two games that he's won so far are games that I expected him to win. I expect him to beat the Giants. Washington, but I expected him to beat the Giants.
I will be shocked if Drew Lock wins a football game the rest of his life. Like, I guess the players that were upset about their quarterback getting released, Duke dude.
Yeah, Daniel Jones.
Thank you. I get it, watching Drew Lock. Like, he's horrible. Like, absolutely pathetic at reading. Like, he shouldn't be in the NFL. Like, that is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll get better as this season progresses if he's going to take all the snaps the rest of the year for the Giants. But he's had plenty of time. He hasn't looked good.
Denver,
he's actually
Seattle.
Literally getting worse at football. Every time I watch him, Drew Lock is getting worse at football. So I hear you. I can't give Cooper Rush any credit for the Giants win. I think they lose every game the rest of the way if Drew Lock is their quarterback, and I think they're intentionally doing that. If you want to talk about tanking, the players are trying their best. Drew Lock is playing his best. There's 100 quarterbacks in the world today better than Drew Lock. And they know by playing him, it doesn't matter how good the other players are on their team. They will lose as long as Drew Lock is the quarterback. The Washington game was surprising. And I will say this. I had thoughts that Cooper Rush does things because he's not as talented as Dak Prescott that are more simple, and sometimes simple wins. And I thought, would he be getting the ball out as quick as Cooper Rush is getting the ball out? They didn't destroy Washington. Remember, at the end, you had two touchdowns.
Oh, it was wild. Yeah, chaos.
Off of
finish.
Special teams. You had
the whole first half of that,
I guess,
was
two
miserable.
Kick returns, right, at the end. But you watch him, and he quickly gets the ball out of his hands, and he's like, screw it. The offensive line sucks. Okay, guess what? I've seen Peyton Manning win Super Bowls with not good offensive lines. But the reason he did is because he got rid of the ball so quick, it was very tough to get to Peyton Manning. Cooper Rush isn't a great quarterback. Cooper Rush is a great backup to me. Mm-hmm. I still think he's a great backup quarterback. And what does he do? I'm not going to make this game too complicated. We're going to snap the ball to me. I'm going to read the defense as quickly as possible, and I'm going to get rid of this MF-er.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Dak should do that.
And you know what he
maybe
also
Dak
does?
Maybe Dak would be better if he did. Dak did that his rookie season, right?
Yeah.
He did that very well his rookie season. Now he feels like I have to extend plays and things.
He seems to be like, who's the best player on my team? On offense, CeeDee Lamb. I am going to feed this dude so much. And sometimes it's just catch and get down because mm-hmm. there's two guys near you. Just take the 3 yards. That's it. See if you can create something maybe out of nothing. But I'm just going to get the ball to you and see what happens. And so sometimes I watch Cooper Rush in that Washington game, for instance, and I go, gosh, would have Dak tried to do too much? Does Dak feel like I have to do this?
I think sometimes
and
he does.
And then he makes major mistakes because, let's be honest, God did not make him the best quarterback in the world from talent perspective. There's a lot of quarterbacks more talented than Dak Prescott.
He has a lot of great skills, a lot
and
of great
so
assets.
When you start trying to do more than you're capable of doing, then you start making major mistakes. And I think Dak does that. I think that's why Dak gets destroyed in playoff games because he tries to do more and, unfortunately, God didn't make him as talented as most of the quarterbacks in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So he has to be smarter than the quarterbacks in the playoffs. And he seems to kind of refuse to be smarter than the quarterbacks in the playoffs.
You know, that's one of the things that Brian Schottenheimer was talking about, too, was they had to get to know Cooper Rush even more because they had to find out what he's comfortable with and what he doesn't like. And that's a huge thing. You got to know what you're good at and what you're not, what you want to do and what you don't want to do. Your coach has to know what you can do and can't do. Your coach can't send you out there and say, hey, I want you to make this this back corner fade. I want you to make that throw, even though I know in practice you've never done that and you never can do it. Instead of giving you the slant route, I want you to do this to win the game. That's not what you do. Because your player can't do it. You find out what they're good and comfortable with. Right now, Cooper Rush is comfortable handing the ball off, getting it out quickly. Schoonmaker benefited big, right? Because Cooper Rush is getting the ball out quickly to him, saying, hey, let's get this out of my hands and get it 4 yards ahead. Let me get you, while you're open, let me get you there. One of the things I do, like Dak always, in my mind, has struggled with is anticipation. We talk about leading the receiver a lot. But anticipation, it has always felt like there's been this, he has to be open for me to feel comfortable throwing it. And sometimes that's too long of a wait. I am not complaining about what Dak's done. I'm asking about Cooper Rush, though, for the Tolos out there that are texting in and want to be part of this conversation. When it comes to Cooper Rush, where is your confidence right now? And I'm trying to figure out what that means by winning games that Dak would have lost. And I'd like to know more from that person that texted it in. Because so far, he lost to the Eagles 34-6. He lost to the Texans 34-10. They put up 16 points in those two games. He was the quarterback. They also didn't have some pretty significant key pieces to their offense and to their defense still at that point. When they play the Commanders, they start getting some pieces back, and they're starting to look better. And that's where I see that this team is starting to look better because they're more whole and more complete. Did they start this season with Dak Prescott looking good? No, they looked like they did against Green Bay last year in the playoffs. And Jerry talked about that this morning, too. But right now, I have faith that Cooper Rush can keep you in games and you're not going to see as many blowouts as you saw early in the season because the defense is better.
He's the bus driver.
Yeah.
Dak is more than that.
And now, he's paid to be more than that, too.
If you want to have, to me, a conversation, not you, Corey, but the person who's like, or people that are like, well, Cooper Rush does this and Dak doesn't do that and this and that. And I'm trying to play the game with you here. But if you think, and I know this would only be on YouTube or Twitch or whatever, but if we have Dak here and Cooper Rush way down here, it's not that big of a disparity. That's, I think, the issue with the $60 million is Cooper Rush is maybe here and Dak Prescott, I move him down. And like there's tiers in between them, not mm-hmm. a tier, but tiers, but it's not a whole bunch of tiers. And that's the tough thing. I think as me being not the biggest Dak Prescott fan, not that I think he's a bad quarterback. I think he's a slightly above average quarterback in the NFL, starting quarterback, but I don't think that there's this huge gap between him and Cooper Rush. There is a gap, and that's where Cooper Rush, it's like Cooper Rush knows himself at times better than Dak knows himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cooper Rush at times won't do things like, he's like, screw it, I'll just throw it out of bounds. Screw it, I'll just take the sack here. Where Dak is like, I think I can do this. And he can't.
And he's just like, not good enough. This could save the game. This could be the... Yeah. I always felt like with Tony Romo, because he was an undrafted free agent, he got lots of money. The expectations are very high to be the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. I always felt like Romo felt he didn't belong and was trying to prove he belonged on every throw. Like, I got, when I make this touchdown, everybody's gonna go, that's why. You know, and I always felt like he was trying to do that when there were other plays that were simpler that he could have made. But also, at the same time, Tony Romo thinks on a higher level than I ever did when it comes to playing the position of quarterback.
Well, I agree. I think Tony Romo, remember this, Tony Romo only got his chance by being the most riskiest quarterback in maybe football history.
Yeah.
And, like, he was a nobody. He was a seventh, he wasn't even a seventh round pick. He was just a nobody free agent that a few teams wanted, thought he could maybe be a backup quarterback at the peak of his career. But he got smarter, he got better, but he stayed risky. And the thing is that he only had that job because of his risk reward was way off, and the reward ended up hitting way more than the risk. The risk would sometimes hurt you. So it was very tough to tell him, hey, I know you've been the starting quarterback for 5 years in the NFL. You know how you got this job? You know how you have all of this money? Stop doing that.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're totally right. Don't be the guy that you are.
Right.
You got to be a little more conserved.
I think that was very tough for Tony Romo. Now, Dak Prescott does not have that. He's not, like, in a way, in a good way. Romo was psycho with his risk reward.
Yeah, he was.
Like, this is stupid, Tony. And he's like, yeah, you know what? Stupid got me $100 million. And it did.
Yeah.
Like, it is, that is true, because that's his risk reward factor in his brain was messed up, but it worked out for him. And so I look at Dak, and that's not his major problem. I think his major problem at this point in his career is, I look at him and go, he's starting to deteriorate. The things that made him successful, let's say 2016 through 2019, he's gotten better at some of those things. The reading defenses, the throwing the ball more accurately, those things, he's gotten better. The problem is his athleticism has gotten way worse because of injury.
Yeah.
And he used to be able to be a very athletic quarterback. He's still a strong quarterback. He's tough to get down on the ground if you don't get a good hit or wrap him up. He can kind of escape that. The issue is he used to be able to escape and then get out of that situation in a hurry. Now he might still be strong enough to escape, but he can't get out of the situation in a hurry.
The by the way, Ross Fenstermaker, the GM for the Rangers, says that...
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I'm in Higgy.
Yes.
Will be splitting time. So that is the plan for them. So good luck to the Rangers this season when they try to pull that off. I'm excited for it.
So I'm interested in this, and right. I'm 99% sure Chris Young was there. It was a Zoom. They sent me the link. Obviously, I couldn't do it because I was doing this. Is with Ross being like the press conference at noon was general manager.
Ross Fenstermaker.
As far as I know, no, I'm not, it might have just ended or because it started at noon with the general manager, but I'm like, wait a second, was Chris Young there?
I didn't see it.
These are things I'm wondering. I'm going to have to find out through, you know, I'm sure that Sandler was on the Zoom call and find out kind of those things here. But yeah, I see where Evan Grant put on his biggest takeaways from the press Zoom from Higgy, the Rangers' new catcher. Rangers were aggressive with Chris Young reaching out on the first day that you could talk to free agents. Spent a spring with Bobby Wilson when both were with the Yankees and observed the obsession to defensive detail. So you have a coach who knows this guy well, who thinks there's maybe more there. Something about a guitar.
Okay, so, cool on the guitar there. We'll keep an eye on that and get more information.
Round and Round by Rat on his guitar.
That's awesome.
So often in Padres Clubhouse, it was eventually banned?
That's a band and a song, Round and Round, that he was playing. And then I guess the teammates hated it and said, get out of here with that crap. The story that I was asking about regarding have you ever snuck into something? Two men wearing reflective vests, hard hats, and more entered Kyle Field with fake construction credentials and were arrested for criminal trespassing.
Like the day of the game?
They wanted to get into the game, so they snuck in wearing fake credentials. That's that old idea that, hey, just walk around with a ladder. You can get in anywhere because nobody asks the guy with a ladder what he's doing. They just go, oh, he must be doing something on the roof or up high. They're not going to ask. So they said, hey, we'll just put on these disguises and sneak in. And they were arrested for criminal trespassing. 877-881-1053. You ever snuck into anything?
I've probably gone to 20 Cowboy games as a kid.
Oh, really?
Sneaking in.
Yeah.
So when I was anywhere from, let's say, 7 to 11 years old, we had 4 season tickets during the end of the Landry era and the beginning of the Jimmy Johnson era. There were always at least 10,000, if not 20,000 empty seats at Texas Stadium. Nobody wanted to go to the Cowboys game. So it used to be, there's obviously no computerized version. You'd hand them the 4 tickets, but my grandfather would put them all together and then they would rip them
all up.
And then you would go in and it would be my grandfather, my 2 uncles and my dad. And there would be the 4 tickets. And I would either sit in my dad's lap or 80% of the time there was an empty seat because nobody wanted to go to the games.
That's the way to do it right there. I snuck into Game 5 of the 2011 NBA Finals. I had been working for ESPN's 3D, their television 3D version, and I'd been setting up. I was a showrunner for them that whole week. So everybody knew me around there, all the security guards. I got to know people in that area. So whenever the game happened, I just parked nearby and walked in through that same area that I was. And people were just like, hey, how's it going? I'm standing on the floor before game five of the NBA Finals, and I have no credential, no pass. I'm just standing there because I happen to know the people all week long. And that was one of those moments where I was like, this is awesome. And I also used to sneak into, it's now what, Dos Equis Pavilion. I used to sneak into Dave Matthews concerts. Whatever. I think I saw Pink and Lenny Kravitz do a show together. I would go in and I would sneak in through the back and say I was with the concession stand group and then just go hang out in the bathroom until the show started. And it was awesome. One day I got to watch Dave Matthews do their sound check, and it was great. But now don't do that, kids, unless you can make sure you don't get caught. All right, coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, let's go around the NFC East, and Mike Likes It's on the way next on the Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we will be at Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp, 6465 East Mockingbird Lane in Dallas on Thursday. 15% of all sales that day are going to go to the Guns and Hoses Foundation. We love working with them. They help families of first responders. While supplies last, you also can get your holiday edition of the 105.3 The Fan flask. So if you want to get that, you got to be out at Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp on Thursday. And that is your opportunity to see Mike turn Ranger Red whenever he eats the hottest version of what they got going. And you're going to go with the catfish instead of the chicken?
No. I will go with the hottest version of the chicken. I don't know if they would do the hottest version of the catfish. Does that make sense? I'm going to need to look up their menu.
You just dust it and then put the sauce. And you cover it. You put it in the marinade, and then you dust it. You get all the dust and this heat.
All right. Well, while you're talking, I'm going to look up their menu.
All right. That sounds like a great idea. Before you look that up completely, though, Mike, we're going around the NFC East. Where would y'all like to start? Philly, Washington, New York, or Dallas?
Dallas is on a huge winning streak.
Okay.
2-0 in the division in the last 2 weeks.
You know what? And that being said, they are right there at, 3-1 in the division this year. So that one loss against the Eagles, it's looking pretty good for them. And no, to the Tolos that are asking, I'm not going to say the names on air of the people who are trying to sneak into the A&M game, the names that they tried to use.
Why not?
I will get in trouble for at least one of those names. At least one of them.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, no, I think I would.
No, like these are allegedly fake names.
Okay,
what if they were actually
their real
given
names?
Yeah, those were their given names, then I'm sorry to them.
The Dallas Cowboys around the NFC East here on 105.3 The Fan. DeMarvion Overshown's fumble recovery and pick six in that game made him the first Cowboy to do that since, I'll say the time was December 2nd, 2002 against the Washington Commanders.
And what did this person do?
Fumble recovery and pick six in the same game.
Dexter
Coakley, good guess. Not it. Alec, do you happen to have a guess?
That win.
Not. That's a good guess. Actually, you're at the wrong position. It's not a linebacker. Fumble recovery and pick six in the same game.
Leroy Glover.
I've seen that. I don't think I ever saw him get a pick six, though, but I've seen him recover fumbles before.
Crap, I don't remember who the, because this is before Mo Claiborne. I'm like, who in the world was
a first-round draft pick.
Kevin Smith.
And
he was on the team in 2002.
He was picked at a position that the Cowboys don't like to pick that high.
Ooh, was it? No.
Was it your guy from Oklahoma? Was it Roy Williams?
Yeah, it was Roy Williams, wasn't it? Yeah.
Roy Williams was the last player for the Cowboys in 2002.
Darren Woodson was still on the team telling him what to do before the ball was snapped so he wouldn't raise his hands up and blame everybody except himself for the bad defensive play.
Listen, man, I have this amazing picture of Roy Williams at Oklahoma. And I remember Adrian was out up there, and I was by myself watching the game. It was Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and Tatum Bell rounds a corner, and Roy Williams is standing right there and just levels him. And I was like, man, that was an amazing hit. But I was by myself, clapping and high-fiving myself at the time. And one day, I go up to OU, and I'm hanging out with Adrian. We go up to a Walmart, and that picture of him laying out Tatum Bell is right there in the Walmart. And I was like, oh my gosh, I would love to have that. And Adrian got it for me for Christmas that year. We weren't even together yet. We were just kind of dating at the time. Yeah, just kind of seeing each other.
I can barely hear you because I've gone to palmershotchicken.com/menu.
Food.
Yeah, now I'm looking at pimento cheese grits.
Dude, they are so good.
That looks really good.
They are really. I've had most of the menu. I haven't had any of the catfish and shrimp because at the time I only had the chicken.
Okay.
But it's that pimento grits is really good.
It does look like you can get the catfish in there four different heats.
Let's go.
So you get naked, no heat, novice, medium heat,
novice.
Nashville, novice. See, look, the English language. Take the E out and I'll say it right. Nashville.
Did he say Novik?
He said novice.
Yeah. That's how you say it.
No, it's not.
Or novice.
No, that's not.
No vice is medium heat. Nashville, some good heat. It'll make your forehead sweat. And then I'm going to say it's napalm.
Right? Yes.
Even though it's spelled napalm. Or napalm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Napalm.
Taco ma. Yep. Just
Nashville
like that.
Plus Carolina Reaper.
Oh, my
God.
It's
so hot.
He didn't have that whenever we were there last time.
You're saying Nashville was his hottest?
It was just Nashville. He didn't have Carolina Reaper.
So he puts a plus Carolina Reaper in the napalm.
I got some fresh habaneros from my dad's farm. I can bring some to you and we can add on top of it if you want to.
I feel like he's done the job with the Carolina Reaper.
All right. I think you're going to be all right. The Cowboys have beaten the Giants 15 of 16 times now. That is the most wins in a 16-game span against any team in franchise history. The dominance they've had over the Giants over the last 16 games is the most dominance the Cowboys have ever had. And that just shows you how bad the Giants have been in this stretch, because that's 8 years of just poor, poor play and poor coaching, poor talent on the opponent's team.
And you like the coach there, right?
I do think the coach is good, but it's dropped off for me considering all the rest of it hasn't been any better either. Their defense has been okay, but their offense never got anything together.
I mean, I do think that they'll be picking in the top three,
yeah,
which gives them a great chance to get either Sanders or Ward.
Yeah.
It's just a matter, as I go back to asking the football questions, do you believe there's one that stands out over the other? And then do you believe that one of those two guys or both of those guys can be a franchise-changing quarterback?
The other thing that goes with that franchise change is culture within the locker room. And that culture up there, they're pointing fingers. They're pointing fingers at everybody. And we'll get into a little more of the Giants here in just a moment. Eric Kendricks had 10 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble in Thursday's game. That is the first time in his career that he has done that. So good job for Eric Kendricks as he has joined the Dallas Cowboys. Mike, Washington, Philly, or New York?
Philly.
Philadelphia?
They were number three in the power rankings today.
They are number three. Okay. And number two in the MVP voting is currently Saquon Barkley. It is down between, at the moment, Josh Allen and Saquon Barkley. Everybody else that was in the MVP race, their numbers, their odds have dropped.
Wow.
And Saquon has stayed the same. Josh Allen's went up. And the only other person that didn't change was Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels actually got better. He went 80 to 1 from 100 to 1.
So he's out, though, pretty much.
Yeah,
at this point.
He's not going to get it. But it's basically those two players is Josh Allen and Saquon.
We've talked a lot about Lamar Jackson, but with five losses now, that becomes tough.
Yes. Yeah, and Josh Allen's games of late have been significant opponents. And he's come out on top against them. So I think that's been a big factor, other than losing to Baltimore. That's a different and unique one there, too.
I think Josh Allen's going to win it. I think at this point we're getting close to that Shohei Ohtani situation where you knew with a month to go in the National League, you're like, Shohei's going to win MVP. There's not really a strong contender. If I had to take a dark horse pick.
Saquon's a good contender, but.
But he's second.
Yeah.
What are his odds? Because I'm going to throw out a dark horse at this point. Then I'm going to be like, I don't know, Alec, maybe you'd say, not a bad pick right now, even though I know that Josh Allen, unless there's a major injury or something, you know, happens that doesn't look like it's going to happen to that team. I wonder what the odds are at this point on betting on Patrick Mahomes.
He's 9-2, plus 450 for Saquon, minus 275 for Josh Allen. Okay. So that was that. Who did you have somebody else?
I was
Mahomes?
Just thinking of
18
like,
yeah, to 1 for Mahomes.
18 to 1. At this point, a dude who's 11 and 1, I know his numbers aren't good, and I don't think he's going to win it. I'm going to be clear. I don't think he's going to win it. But if I'm trying to just bet $100 to win $1,800, that gives me a chance.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I mean, at this rate, you've seen it with some of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, too. Like, God forbid that Josh Allen goes down with an ankle injury or something, misses the rest of the regular season, comes back for the playoffs, and he can win a Super Bowl or whatever. But if he misses time, then all bets are off. Saquon Barkley, all it's going to take for him, really, because people hate the running back position, it's going to be one bad game.
He plays the Cowboys one more time, Alec, and he gets hurt against the Cowboys every year.
This is true. So, like, there's variables there to where, like you said, if you're just trying to make a fun bet for $100 that says I could get rich off of this real quick, sure, why not?
Golf close?
I'll have to go revisit those real quick. Give me just a second.
I'm just trying to be like, if you wanted to bet on maybe, you know, the odds.
Golf is 14 to 1.
If you had to put money on it right now, would you rather put your money on Goff, Mahomes, or just kind of take maybe the for sure thing but not really make good money on your bet?
Yeah, I'd probably go with Goff, considering I don't think that that's going to change much down the stretch here.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia was blanked by the Ravens in the first quarter. That's the fewest points league-wide in the opening frame this season, 17. They have the least in the first quarter. We're going to go over to Washington real quick. We'll jump on with them. Commanders scored 40-plus points for the third time this year, the most in a season since they set a franchise record with 4 in 91, which was also the last time they appeared in a conference championship game and the last time they won a Super Bowl. And their offense is a lot better with Jaden Daniels when he uses his legs. He finished with 34 rushing yards. Washington is 8-2. When Daniels has 33 or more rushing yards. So that's the magic number, Mike. Just like Josh Howard, he needs 33 rushing yards, and they are in a better situation going 8-2. And the three
you should just do running plays with him to start the game. Just get to 30-plus yards, and you're like, we're good to
put
go.
Cruise We've
won
control.
The game already.
And then we're going to pop over to New York. Drew Lock took 13 quarterback hits, 6 sacks while throwing for 172 yards, an interception, a fumble. And he had that touchdown on the ground. The results with Locke, though, look similar to what they have with Jones and DeVito. The Giants' problem is well beyond the quarterback. That's where it stands on all this. Also, their defense, 0 interceptions in 11 games. The defense's 11 games without a pick sets an NFL record. Its only interception this year came in week 1 off a tip ball. It's just wild to me that in 11 games, no ball has bounced off of somebody's shoulder and landed in the Giants' arm. It just seems like 11 straight games without an interception, that doesn't seem like it should happen. But that is an NFL record right there. I want to go back to the Jared Goff thing, because this is one of the reasons I believe that the continued efforts of the Detroit Lions is going to be the way that it is. Jahmyr Gibbs posted some stuff within the locker room that had some of their code words on it. It had code words, and he was like, he posted it on social media. Dan Quinn, when he first heard about it, was like, oh, that's a little bit concerning. I might have to have a talk with him about it. But Dan Campbell on 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit decided to change his tone a little bit whenever asked about this.
I know what it is, but I'm like, you know what? We might as well just put everything out there. I don't really give a crap. I mean, if we're going to lose because of code words, then we're not good enough anyway. So I think we'll just post the whole freaking play and every code word we've got. And it doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt us. It won't affect us. And it's all good.
Dan Campbell cracks me up. I don't know how many coaches would do. Now, if he followed through with it and actually posted all of their playbook and all of their code words and everything, and they still were able to win, I'd be like, they're just unstoppable.
I don't really give a crap.
He doesn't really give a crap. But that's the thing, man. When you know that they can't stop something that you do so well, you know opponents can't. I go back to the year that the Cowboys lost to the Packers, the year Dez caught it. Going into the Seattle game that year, we were still a weekend show. And Sean came in to do their pregame show. And he was asking us about stuff. And I was like, man, I think the Cowboys go up there to Seattle and win this game. And he was like, oh, you're just a homer. I was like, no, man. People can't stop the Cowboys' running game. They had Tyron Smith. They were powerful. Everybody knew, the Cowboys, everybody on their team knew, you can't stop us. You know what we're doing. and you can't stop us from doing it. They ended up going up there. They got lucky on a catch from Terrence Williams on the sidelines, but throughout that entire game, they dominated running the ball. And that's what I think. Whenever you're a team, if you're a pitcher and you know people can't hit your fastball, you're throwing your fastball all day long. And then whenever people finally catch up to it, then you say, now I'll adjust. When you know you're good at something, you do that over and over and say, try to stop us.
I couldn't understand in the University of Texas A&M game, Texas versus A&M game, I couldn't understand. A&M could not stop the run in between the tackles to save their lives. Like a positive defensive play for A&M in that game, trying to stop the run if it was kind of in between the tackles, was only giving up 5 yards. Like that's the best. It seemed like they could do 4 or 5 yards. And then, they throw the picks, and I'm just thinking to myself, or they started running wide, and I'm thinking to myself, as a pitcher, they're like doing the thing that's like, I know I can get them out with this pitch, but let's just see if I can get them out with that pitch. And I'm thinking of, you know, UT, I'm like, why don't you guys just run the ball? I get that your guys will get a little bit tired doing it, but you have subs. Like, just keep running the ball up the middle. They can't stop it.
Yeah.
But it seems like we don't want to make things that simple.
Yeah, no, because you're like, well, at some point they're going to figure it out. Yeah. Well, then when they figure it out, then change.
Yeah.
If I did say Dan Quinn, my apologies. It was definitely Dan Campbell I was talking about. But that's been Dan Campbell's whole approach since he got there, is we want to find out what we're really good at and tell you to try and stop it. They're good at running the ball. And they say, you're going to stop David Montgomery? All right, good luck. If you can stop him, we're going to throw Jahmyr Gibbs at you. And good luck stopping that. I do wonder, though, about the code words part of it. That does seem like you're trying to communicate with other people throughout the game. If they know your code words and they know how you're using them,
I'm sure you'd like to keep those secret, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Especially if you're good. What he's saying. Like, I think he went a little bit extreme. Like, if our code words are the reason we're winning, we're really not that good of a team.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the reason we are in the position we are in. I have this question for you.
Go ahead.
Based off of, I know we're doing an NFC East.
No, we're done with it.
But the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
You're a defensive coordinator, and you're going to play against the Detroit Lions. Who's the person, you just named their running backs, combo platter, different running backs, both very good in different ways. They have St. Brown. LaPorta?
Sam LaPorta.
Like, they have a lot.
They have a group of receivers, too.
I know. So how do I rank this? Like, if I'm playing the Cowboys, it's very simple. CeeDee Lamb and I don't care about anybody else. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If
I can stop their run with four, if I can stop their run with just four down linemen and still get pressure on the quarterback, then it allows me to have my secondary play back a little bit. But what they do so well is they get in those cracks to get the first downs with St. Brown. They get in those little areas in between with the way the routes are built. Ben Johnson's really good at that. That's what I'm trying to do first, is take away the run and not let them have that, because Jahmyr Gibbs has proven he can be a play breaker. He can be a game breaker on any given play. If he finds a sliver, he can turn it into 50. And David Montgomery turns it into big yards all the time. Once they get into the red zone, that's where their goal is to try and knock you down. So I'm trying to take that away first, because that's, if I can take the physicality out of the game and show them they can't be more physical than me, then I have a little bit of a chance against the Lions right now. But that's where I would start, Mike. But then you got to hope that you have the secondary that can stick with the St. Browns and the Jamison Williams too, because that's a tough group to deal with, man. I would love, though, Bochy to have so much confidence that he's like, yeah, we're gonna tell him the pitches every time they get up there to hit. We're gonna tell him what the pitch is. Good luck with that. That would be so awesome to have that kind of confidence. I've seen Greinke do that before. He's like, fastball, curveball.
Well, I think most players that were in the Randy Johnson era had a good idea what he was throwing. He tipped his pitches a lot, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, it was too good.
I think when you are Randy Johnson, Nolan Ryan, those type of guys, you can possibly tip your pitches, and if you execute the pitch, there's still not much that the people can do against it. We've heard so many times people go, we knew the formation and what the Cowboys were going to do with Emmett and Moose, and then what they were going to do with Novacek and Irvin and Harper, but we couldn't stop it. We knew what they were about to do. We knew the exact play they were going to run, but they were so talented and executed it close to perfection. It didn't matter. We knew what they were going to do. Now the goal was, can we stop what we know they're about to do? And the answer is,
a lot of times, no. Yeah, I mean, I still love North Turner drawing up plays, and he's got everybody blocked except for one guy. He's like, well, who's blocking that guy? And he goes, that's Emmett's guy. Emmett has to beat that guy. And usually, Emmett did. All right, now somebody said from the 812, you guys are way too serious. Is it Kevin that brings all the fun to the program? Maybe. Maybe it is.
We have to concentrate way more because I have to do Mike likes it and have to make sure my material's ready. And I can't just goof on Kevin and then make his life miserable while mine becomes very happy because of it. It's really weird.
Yeah. But then we got to focus on everything.
Yeah, I got to come up with content.
Yeah, let's turn it over now, though, to Mike Bassick for Mike Likes It.
I got nothing.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
I got plenty. Here's what I got. I'm excited about tonight's Dallas-Memphis game.
Oh,
basketball.
Yes.
That's tonight. I was looking at the run sheet, and I know we have not talked basketball yet today, so I wanted to make sure we talked a little bit of basketball today.
Memphis is 14-7, and Dallas is 13-8.
Thank you. Power rankings you did earlier. Well, NBA.com today came out with their latest power rankings, and you guys can just throw out a quick guess if you'd like. Do you want to guess where the Mavericks are power ranking-wise in the NBA right now?
I will guess that the Mavericks are 8th in the power rankings.
I'll go 10.
Okay. Well, NBA.com likes the Mavs a lot more than you like them. They moved them up from number 11 last week. One of the biggest movers, if not the biggest mover. I haven't checked all the crap teams, but all the good teams I've checked. Dallas Mavericks go from number 11 last week in the power rankings up to number 5.
Wow. And that's a lot without Luka there.
Yeah, they say they have won 8 out of their last 9 games. They are currently 5-1 on a wild 9-game, 16-day stretch that has taken them from the West to the East twice. They have some interesting stuff in here. I'll read this about Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson has also been out, missing the last 4 games with plantar fasciitis. Though Thompson has taken a career-high 65.1% of his shots from three-point range, the Mavs, 38.8%, 24th in the NBA, have seen the league's biggest drop in three-point rate from last season, 44.1. Second, they've still outscored. I think this is interesting here. They've outscored their opponent by 69 points.
Nice.
From behind the arc in their current 4-game winning streak. So there's more to it. There's more to just winning these 4 games, but in those 4 games, they are outscoring their opponent by 69 points from the three-point land, and that's without Klay Thompson on the team right now.
Yeah, I will say one thing is Najee Marshall's a better three-point shooter than Derrick Jones Jr. And PJ Washington looks like he's more comfortable in this offense. And Quentin Grimes is coming into play.
I was waiting for you to get to his name. Yeah. In the last 3 games, he's averaging 24-plus points. He's averaging, I believe, 5-plus assists or 5-plus rebounds and 3-plus rebounds assists. He is playing at a very high level. Now, I get it. He's played all of these games, these 3 games, and the games before. I'm not including, those are pretty good games too for him. He's getting to play all these games as a starting guard because Luka has been out for the majority of them. And then Kyrie Irving was out for the last one. So here's now my question based off of the way Quentin Grimes has been playing lately. Najee's also been playing great, who you've mentioned. Klay Thompson has been out. We know that Klay Thompson got very mad at his team that he is a Hall of Famer for, and he deserves everything in Golden State. And he, in a weird way, he deserved to be mad at them for him feeling like he was the one left out of the big three, that they weren't going to just give him everything he wanted the way that they have with Curry, who's the best. Draymond Green, who you could argue is the third guy out of those 3 guys, but maybe not the third guy now in level of play, is the Mavs have turned a corner, winning 8 of their last 9 games. Clay has been part of some of those games. Clay has been out. I don't know if he's going to play tonight. I have not seen the stuff on who's playing and who's not tonight. I'm very excited to watch this game. I'm going to ask you two guys this question. The Mavs are playing much better without Klay Thompson. I'm not saying sit him on the bench and never see him play, but I do think there's been a little bit of a difference in play with Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes. Yes, based off of Luka being out, but also based off of Klay being out and them getting some more minutes. When Klay Thompson is ready to play, and I don't know if it's tonight, would you bring Klay Thompson off of the bench now?
It's such a delicate thing. That's my biggest concern is I don't want to rock that room too much, but I do feel like he likes what they have here and wants to be part of that.
Yes.
And he felt like when he came here, he would be a part of it in some capacity, but he was kind of promised he would start.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you adjust the minutes to where starting doesn't matter,
yeah,
although it matters to him.
I've had surgery twice for plantar fasciitis and heel spurs. Here's the one thing that I know you have to consider if this is truly a serious plantar fasciitis injury. I think it's tough in the NBA because at his age, his mileage, teams sometimes fake injuries to give guys extra time off.
Give them some breaks.
So I don't know how serious the plantar fasciitis is. But here's my thinking about it. Maybe I need to start him because if you've ever had serious plantar fasciitis where you have to have multiple surgeries because of it, when you warm up and then you sit down and you cool down in those 10 minutes that the game is going on, their stoppage of play, and then at the 4-minute mark of the first quarter, they bring you in. You feel like you've done nothing to warm up because it feels like you're going to die on your plantar fasciitis. And maybe after a couple minutes, your plantar fasciitis, it starts warming up and it starts feeling like you can do things. You're feeling the pain, but it's not as bad.
He's still questionable, by the way.
So my thinking is when Klay comes back because of this injury, you might need to start him because of this injury. Is that he gets to do all of the treatment before they come out for their 15 minutes of warming up. Then he warms up for his 15 minutes. They do a national anthem. He can still move around. They announce the team. And then they go out and they play basketball. And his foot stays loose. Really, his, you know, fascia stays loose. And he's able to play at least the first 6 to 8 minutes somewhat pain-free. As the game progresses, I don't know how that's going to go. I'm really hoping they can solve this problem and they're better at plantar fasciitis than they were 10 to 20 years ago.
I think they are.
Because I went to the Cowboys doctor and he's like, this is an unknown thing. We cannot fix this.
I think they're better at it, but I think that's still like it's going to require rest. Yeah.
Sometimes
like that's the biggest
helps.
Factor.
Sometimes you just cut it. You just slice it off and you say 2 weeks later, you're going to be good. But for 2 weeks, you're not going to be good. Now, you're going to have some arch issues and probably going to have to wear major arch supports. Not that he's not doing that now, but I find that interesting with Klay Thompson. And then what I find interesting as this season keeps going on is Quentin Grimes and Najee Marshall have had major impacts lately. If I were to say, I will also add this guy in here too because he's in here, is Spencer Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie's had some great assist games lately.
Yeah.
And he's been the primary ball handler, so that's been a huge factor.
In his last 8 games, this is in the article on them being top 5, assist to turnover ratio in the last 8 games for Spencer Dinwiddie, 40 assists, 6 turnovers.
That's amazing. That's actually amazing coming from Spencer Dinwiddie. But I go back, and I know this is a long time ago, but remember that year that the Nets had Kyrie and all those guys, and they all got injured, and it was Dinwiddie and a bunch of dudes, and they ended up being like pretty good, and you're like, what's going on?
Yeah,
Dinwiddie knows that responsibility. It's just, can he live up to it? In these moments, he seems to be thriving right now.
And now I'm 99% sure Kyrie and Luka are playing tonight. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
That they're both playing. Is that it'll be interesting. I know that Klay, you said questionable, but it'll be interesting now with Quentin Grimes and Spencer Dinwiddie, how they impact the game for the first time in a while. Your two superstar guards will be back together and how they play. Now, last thing, I know we need to get to the C block here. Real quick, your power rankings. I gave you that the Mavericks are number 5. The Celtics are number 2. They move down from number 1. They move Cleveland back to number 1.
They're playing on
fire. So they're 18-3. The Celtics are 16-4. The Houston Rockets are number 3 in the power rankings. Oklahoma City, number 4. Dallas, 5. This is interesting to me. They moved the Clippers up 8 spots to number 6.
Wow.
I'm not a huge believer in the Clippers come playoff time, but they are playing well of late. Orlando Magic, number 7. Golden State Warriors drop 3 to number 8. Number 9 is the team you're playing tonight, the Memphis Grizzlies at 14-7. And your number 10 team, we mentioned earlier, because of all the Villanova players, the New York Knicks. Because they like the Washingtons and the Philadelphias in football.
They do. They do love those guys up there. Nice work, Mike Bacsik.
God, Kevin, come back. This is too much.
There's just so much work.
There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of concentrating. I got nothing left, man. You don't pitch a reliever 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
I can't do it tomorrow.
Manny learned that the hard way. I had to tell him, but he did learn it the hard way.
I'm about to get Batista'd.
Sean Tolleson is still our friend, though. All right, coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for the C Block. We'll get into some stuff that Jerry Jones talked about, but also, how do you Christmas tree? Next on The Fan.